The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
And here it is.
This is Ron Paul. Thanks to our sponsors for making these podcasts available to you.
You went to bed with your life savings in the bank. You woke up broke. That's because an ID thief stole your identity, took over your bank accounts, and stole everything, including your retirement. And then it hits you, wait, why didn't your identity theft protection help stop this? Because you didn't have the most comprehensive ID theft protection service available, LifeLock Ultimate. LifeLock goes way beyond guarding your identity, your good name, your credit. Those are essential, but now LifeLock is the only identity theft protection company that monitors bank accounts for takeover fraud. Visit LifeLock.com or call and mention Ron10, that's Ron10, Ron10, no spaces, for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call 1-800-480-8210. That's 1-800-480-8210, 1-800-480-8210.
This is Ron Paul's Podcast Nation.
Food prices are soaring in Argentina, so the government has issued an order demanding that supermarkets freeze their prices for a couple of months. And in fact, they're asking people to turn in retailers who don't comply. Where does all this lead?
It leads to a lot of trouble because it's price controls. And price controls have been around since Roman times. And they never work, and they're always put on for the same reason. Because prices go up faster than the government wants them to go up, because they devalue the money, they devalue the currency, and this is the reflection. Prices go up, people don't like it, so they think price controls will fix it. The truth is, price controls does everything wrong. It's the wrong thing to do, because what happens, it causes shortages. Most of us remember, or a lot of us remember, in 1971, Nixon tried it. Wage and price controls, it was a total disaster. Once you have the shortages, then what happens? We have the black market. We had it in World War II. We had it in the Korean War. We had it in 1971. The various countries around the world, Zimbabwe tries it, because they refuse to look at the issue of money. The monetary system is the problem. If you print a lot of money, the value of that currency goes down. It is reflected in rising prices. Governments don't want to admit they have to cut spending, shrink the size of government, and have sound money. So therefore, they come in with these price controls, and it leads to more and more economic problems that's going to be required a lot more attention.
Well, the cycle seems to work something like this, and we may see it before this year is over here in the United States. You turn on the late news at night, and there's a reporter standing outside the grocery store talking to a woman coming out with the incredible shrinking bag of groceries, and he says, look at this, she can't afford to make ends meet. The government has to do something.
The government has to do something, and that is, live within its meaning, quit printing the money. But when this happens, it is inevitably said by the people, well, if I just had more money, then I could pay the bills. But that's exactly what the problem is. There is too much money. In this country today, what we have done now for so many years, especially since 1913, is there has been very little restraint on spending. In 1971, we severed the last link to the gold standard, which meant it gave total license to our federal government to spend, and the politicians loved it because they always knew, well, if we can't borrow the money and if we don't have enough, we don't collect enough revenues, the Fed is always there to print the money. And they have, and they've done this before, and they're continuing to do it, but they have to eventually start thinking about the nature of money and why the founders were absolutely right, because they had experienced runaway inflation, and they said only gold and silver should be used in a currency, yet today it's totally ignored.
Well, I don't see how the problem can be solved by Congress, since they have both parties cultivated their constituencies over the years by giving them things, by offering things, by buying them things, and there's no reason that they are likely to stop doing that.
No, they're not going to, because the politician wants reelected, and in spite of the complaints about the politician today, most of the politicians are getting reelected. They do get reelected, but they always, assume that they have to deliver the goods. But something different is going on. With the Tea Party movement going on and the stalemate in Washington, they're starting to recognize that we're at an end point. So we're not where we were in the past 30 or 40 years. We had these problems in a minor way, but today it's getting cataclysmic. It is very, very big, because the spending is going up exponentially, and the world is awash in these paper currencies. People know now about what's going on in Greece. Somebody described Greece as where we'll be eventually, and it will happen. We in the United States have had a special benefit, and the benefit has been that we have ended up issuing the reserve currency of the world, which allows us to get away with this for a lot longer time. We're an economic powerhouse and we're a military powerhouse, so we're able to do this for a lot longer, but it will come to an end. If it were true that we could continue to do what we're doing, it'd be like Americans don't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the world still accepts our dollars. They still buy our treasury bill. They buy our mortgage, less so than they used to. So we do know that it's coming to an end. And this whole business about Germany wanting their gold back is also reflecting the fact that people are getting very, very nervous about this. And I think we live in uncharted waters. We live in a time right now that the world has never faced before. Conditions similar, but not as huge as they are today.
And it's not just us. It's not just the Federal Reserve of the United States, our central bank that's printed a couple of $1 trillion since the mortgage meltdown. This is going on all over the world. We have $7 trillion that have just been printed in the last few years by Europe is printing money. Japan is printing money. I guess China is printing money. The United Kingdom is printing money. This is a global phenomenon now.
That's why it's different. Before individual countries did it, Argentina has done it, Germany's done it, Zimbabwe has done it. But this is worldwide, and it's based on the dollar standard. This is the reason I believe there is a bigger bubble now than ever before in our history. Sure, we had a NASDAQ bubble, and we had a housing bubble, but they are minor compared to what we're facing because we're in the midst of a dollar bubble and a bond bubble, and people are getting very nervous about it, and they should. And it boils down to it's been a gimmick to live beyond our means and promise everybody anything and bail out everybody. It just won't last, and I think people are becoming aware of it, that we're living dangerously close to that point where we're going to have to change our ways.
Well, the bigger the bubble, the bigger the bust when it pops. So how does all this end? What kind of period do we go through once the bubble's popped?
Well, that's unknown. We don't know exactly when it will come or how it will happen. But generally what happens is people lose confidence. See, there's objective factors and there are subjective factors. There's confidence on our dollar in our country that probably isn't all that well earned. But when confidence is lost and we're in the process of losing confidence as we are diminished as an economic power and we see the growth of the countries in the Far East. And what happens when the confidence is lost at the end, it goes rather quickly. And then you see rapid devaluation and rampant inflation, and we're vulnerable to it. That means that our government can't pay the debt. They'll default on the debt, but they default by paying off the debt with cheap money. This is what they're doing. Matter of fact, Bernanke is anxious right now for the devaluation of the currency and some inflation because that helps reduce the debt. If you have a 50% inflation rate, our national debt goes down 50%. That's the goal of Keynesian economics, is to liquidate debt through the inflation of the monetary system, and they always believe they can contain it. But they can't. Eventually, they lose control, and the market is more powerful than all the governments and all the central banks of the world.
Well, the problem is peculiar now because all the countries of the world are racing to devalue their currencies to have the cheapest currency in the view that they'll be able to export their way to prosperity. Manufactured goods that they export will be so cheap that their economies will boom, everybody will buy their goods, and despite the cheap currency, everybody will prosper.
It's a fallacy. It's been around for a long time, and on some times on the short run, it seems to help. They claim a weaker currency will improve your exports, but it just raises prices and it doesn't end. So when everybody's doing it, eventually what that'll do is people will leave the currencies and they'll start buying hard assets.
Well, sometimes these things lead to trade wars, and the trade wars become actually hot wars too.
Trade wars have been around for a long time. Today, the current trade war is with a devaluation of all the currencies. But we are also, we'll see, you know, sanctions and trade barriers put in. And right now, I mean, there's a lot of that going on. It's managed by the World Trade Organization. So the World Trade Organization does more to give permission to put on tariffs than they do to prevent the tariffs and import taxes from going up. Yeah, the trade wars are going to go on. They're trying to compensate for the errors of government, spending, deficits, printing press money. And as long as they do that, they will prolong the agony, but they cannot prevent the end point.
Well, I suppose this all says that we're looking at a future in which people expect they will get their Social Security check, and they will get it, and it will be in the same nominal amount that they've been used to, but it doesn't pay for the cat food or fill up the gas tank.
And some people worry it was the government going to go broke, and they don't raise the national debt, and they won't pay their bills. No, they're always going to pay their bills, but they'll pay the bills with money that doesn't work so well. And the Social Social Security beneficiaries will always get a check. Even right now in Washington, they're entertaining the thought, well, let's recalculate the CPI lower than it really is so we don't have to raise the benefits. Already, the people on fixed incomes, especially Social Security recipients, they are actually losing purchasing power. So loss of purchasing power is real important. So, yes, the checks will come, but the money won't buy as much.
I saw the other day that the International Monetary Fund put Argentina on probation for lying about their rising prices, the rate at which inflation is roaring in Argentina. Maybe they should take a closer look at what's going on here in the United States, too.
That's for sure. That's where we should address our problems. And if we did what we were supposed to do, believe me, it would be reflected around the world.
Thanks very much.
Ron Paul's Podcast Nation is available on iTunes. See more at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.